Joining me for a closer look at the equity space now is Nesan Nayar from Sasfin Securities. Thanks so much, Nesan, for your time today. So we had the all share turning slightly weaker, I guess, from a shaky opening. Rand hedgers and miners coming under pressure, while retailers and banks rebounded on that stronger rand. What have you made of the trading day that was?
Listen, I think we needed a bit of a reprieve from the last 2 days. I mean, banks were heavily sold in the early part of the week, Monday and Tuesday, and we're beginning to recover a little bit now. Of course, the news flow was dominated by what's taking place with Capitec and PSG, and of course the Steinhoff parliamentary inquiry now as well. A lot of people focused on that. We're still trying to make sense really of what's happened there, and I think so long as there's this uncertainty as to what the actual accounting fraud is and what the extent of the damage is, you're going to find some big swings. I mean, some really big volatility in the equity space.
Absolutely. If we're taking a look at Capitec, down 12.5% by the close of trade. I mean, you say you're still trying to make sense of things. How are you viewing trade on Capitec right now? Are you just holding back completely before making any investment bets on this one?
Listen, I think the uncertainty around this Viceroy report has led a lot of people, just to sell the share indiscriminately. And the company has responded to some of the allegations. It has pointed to factual inconsistencies, which I suppose are easy enough to verify. They have addressed, some of the issues. The report tries to liken Capitec to what's taking place at Steinhoff, in terms of the way in which their loan book has grown and how the results are being presented. The Capitec story is different from Steinhoff in the sense that Capitec was a business that grew organically out of South Africa. They grew a lending book and they grew a deposit book over a period of time. Steinhoff, remember, was a company that went and just grew offshore. Mm-hmm. They had massive offshore expansion over a very short period of time. So I'm not sure whether the two profiles of growth in the businesses are necessarily comparable. But in an upward rising market, the challenges for a lot of hedge funds is to actually make money out of shorts. And those guys that are involved in that space right now could be doing pretty well out of this.
Let's take a look at Steinhoff very quickly. Up 0.6%. Of course, parliamentary hearings kicked off today. We had Christo Visser presenting his case. To what extent are you following all that's developing there, or are you just waiting for the gavel to fall on this one?
Listen, I think the country and certainly the market is looking for some sort of accountability, mm-hmm. and we didn't see that come through in any significant way. I suppose the market is looking for the individual and individuals rather who are aware of this to come out and say that it's very difficult to identify fraud in a business if the CEO is involved. I don't think that's going to allay a lot of investors' fears. The reason we have independent directors, the reason we have a board, we have the FSB, we have regulation at multiple levels, is principally to identify fraud. Auditors are there to assess the truthfulness of results. And if the auditors say, if the auditors have to say, listen, we can't really verify the truthfulness of these results, then, what is of the audit profession? So I think what we're looking for in the investment community is for people to account for what's taking place, whether they knew about it or didn't know about it, should they have known, mm-hmm. I think is the question we're asking. And, I'll wait for that moment. At that point in time, we can begin to get our minds around what
Absolutely.
Needs to be done.
And that, whether you're looking at a Capitec, a Steinhoff, a Naspers, which has, of course, seen a multi-choice announced today that it's severed all ties with ANN7, not looking to renew that contract. Let's take a look at some of the positive. Vodacom up as the top performer on the top 40 index today, close enough to 5.5%. Quite a positive trading update that filtered through.
Yeah, I think, the top line result was very good because the last few updates now we've seen that the top line was struggling to grow above inflation. I think this is the first time I can remember in a long time that we've got above inflation top line growth. More subscribers, still doing relatively well on the data side. I think the delay in the allocation of this new spectrum and the sort of controversy around it and the data must fall, mm-hmm. prices as well, you know, I think has taken a toll on the share price. But I think they've always proven to be great operators, Vodacom, and I think we're beginning to see some of that quality management coming
through. Is that why it's emerging as your stock pick right now? Is that the long and short of it?
I think, you know, largely it's a business that I think has always proven, given enough time, and you know, I think it may have just turned the corner.
Mm-hmm. That's not the same for ArcelorMittal. Yes, revenues are growing on the back of rising steel prices, but it doing very that doing it very little favor when you've got costs, the volatility, the exchange rate really hampering things, and you know, not seeing this company managing to effectively get itself out of that loss position I was looking at earlier. I mean, this company last reported a profit back in 2011.
Yeah, they were happy to have a positive EBITDA for the first time. It's still a loss on the bottom line. Listen, the steel companies, not just ArcelorMittal, across the world, are really suffering with Chinese steel prices. And even though China is reducing capacity, reducing capacity utilization, you know, they're just such a big producer of steel. It's very difficult for ArcelorMittal to compete against international steel prices. So you saw them get a little bit of a tariff increase on imported steel. You saw imported steel come down. But even with a 15% price increase, you know, they weren't able to generate a profit. And I just wonder whether this is a sunset industry in South Africa, whether, you know, it makes sense for us just to close down these big polluting steel foundries and, you know, just import the stuff out of China. Big impact on jobs in South Africa, but for how much longer can ArcelorMittal go?
Especially where we've got money, the prospect of carbon taxes emerging, and the company very vociferously saying that it's not going to be able to, you know, become a clean industry overnight, and will get whacked by that. Ness, and let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Ness and I is with Sasfin Securities. Welcome back. Well, as we head into the news, Steinhoff's, or heard rather in the news, Steinhoff's parliamentary hearing kicked off in Parliament, and it's not only South African markets that are keeping its eyes glued on developments there. Let's cross over to Bronwyn, who's standing by with more on that story and other international news from the Deutsche Welle team in Frankfurt.
Thanks, Alicia. Well, let's start off with a local story that is making global news headlines. Steinhoff was in Parliament today to give an update on the various investigations that are ongoing at the retailer. It's facing around 5 different probes here and in Europe. So let's cross to the Frankfurt Stock Exchange, where Daniel Koop from Deutsche Welle is standing by to give us an update on how this is unfolding on that end. Daniel, how closely are investors watching what happens here in South Africa when it comes to Steinhoff, and what is the latest on investigations that are underway there in Frankfurt?
Well, Bronwyn, I can tell you that investors here at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange are monitoring what's going on. We have to remember that Steinhoff, after IKEA, is the biggest company when it comes to create and to build furniture. We are hearing that authorities in South Africa are in touch now with authorities here also in Germany, that pretty much the South African embassy here in Berlin also contacted authorities here in Germany, and they got also in touch here with the Frankfurt Stock Exchange to get more information about transactions that were made in the past, really to find out if this is really a case of insider trading. I'm hearing, and that's good news, I guess, from our side, that it seems that authorities and also Steinhoff here in Germany are very cooperative, so they are very optimistic that those investigations will be a success.
We'll have to see how that cooperation plays out and what the end result is there for Steinhoff. But in the meantime, Siemens out with results. First quarter profit weighed down by its struggling power and gas unit. The CEO says that the declining market for fossil power generation is not a temporary slump. So what strategic measures is Siemens going to put in place to deal with this?
Yeah, the gas turbine business is really giving the company some headache. Sales are down in that area with 20%, and profit is actually down with 50%. Of course, we have to remember also with the energy turnaround that Siemens really has to find new ways. And on the other hand, I can also tell you there was actually a demonstration taking place here outside of the Frankfurt Stock Exchange by Siemens employees just about some hours ago. And they're actually very angry about the company. They're saying that they were the ones making the company important and also very strong. Siemens had announced in the past that they might be cutting up to 6,000 jobs in this gas turbine business. Now many people here at different production facilities are wondering what will be happening with their jobs. On the other hand, investors are actually happy with the overall performance of the company in the first quarter of this year, which was actually ending on December 31st last year. They were sharing with investors that their profits were actually in the overall business going up to a level of 2.2 billion euros. But yes, among the employees of Siemens, you can feel that there's really lots of frustration.
Well, before we go, let's check in on developments with Bitcoin. Now, the digital currency is down around 31% this month as the US regulators ramp up their scrutiny of the cryptocurrency, and Facebook as well has banned ads on its social network that promote Bitcoin. Rules in South Korea that tackle anonymity and money laundering in the cryptocurrency space take effect today as well. So how are investors reacting to all of this?
Well, actually, with this news that most likely we are not going to see a ban of cryptocurrency in South Korea that was discussed previously, investors are thinking that the cryptocurrency market will, at least for the moment, recover a bit. Remember that the cryptocurrency Bitcoin was at some point already at a level of close to 20,000 US dollars. When this news was breaking that countries like South Korea and also China would be banning cryptocurrency at all from their market, cryptocurrencies were pretty much dropping. Some investors already consider this as the first crash of the cryptocurrency. The Bitcoin is still at a level, you mentioned it, still at a level about 10,000 US dollars, not anymore under the magical mark of $10,000. But investors are really not certain what is going to happen. They don't think that we are going to see a complete crash in the near future, but also they don't really see the cryptocurrency Bitcoin really jumping again very high. It's just something that is so hard even for professional investors to predict.
Well, on that note, let's leave it there. Daniel Koop is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of your global markets news. Alicia, it's back to you.
Thanks, Bronwyn, and that's all we have time for this hour. After the break, it's You and Your Money, and I'm back at 7 p.m. with your news. We also dig deeper into what played out at the Steinhoff inquiry today, and we unpack ArcelorMittal's financial results as well, so you don't want to miss it. I'll see you then. It's emerging as your stock pick right now. Is that the long and short of it?
I think, you know, largely it's a business that I think has always proven given enough time, and I think it may have just turned the corner.
Mm-hmm. That's not the same for ArcelorMittal. Yes, revenues are growing on the back of rising steel prices, but are doing it very little favor when you've got costs. The volatility, the exchange rate really hampering things, and not seeing this company managing to effectively get itself out of that loss position I was looking at earlier. I mean, this company last reported a profit back in 2011.
Yeah, they were happy to have a positive EBITDA for the first time. It's still a loss on the bottom line. Listen, the steel companies, not just ArcelorMittal, across the world, are really suffering with Chinese steel prices. And even though China is reducing capacity, reducing capacity utilization, they're just such a big producer of steel, it's very difficult for ArcelorMittal to compete against international steel prices. So you saw them get a little bit of a tariff increase on imported steel. You saw imported steel come down. But even with a 15% price increase, you know, they weren't able to generate a profit. And I just wonder whether this is a sunset industry in South Africa, whether, you know, it makes sense for us just to close down these big polluting steel foundries and, you know, just import the stuff out of China. Big impact on jobs in South Africa, but for how much longer can ArcelorMittal go?
Especially with, where with we've got money. The prospect of carbon taxes emerging, and the company very vociferously saying that it's not going to be able to, you know, become a clean industry overnight and will get whacked by that. Nesson, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Nesson Nair is with Sasfin Securities.